A plane crash takes the life of Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe's son. The Olympic torch is back on Earth. And more legal maneuvering around Solberg Airport. This is Aero News for Tuesday, November the 12th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The son of Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe has reportedly been fatally injured in an accident near Owosso, Oklahoma. The plane carrying Dr. Perry Inhofe, reportedly a Mitsubishi MU-2B-25, went down Sunday about 1600 local time. Television station KOCO reports that the pilot of the airplane contacted Tulsa International Airport about 1545 Sunday, asking for, quote-unquote, immediate assistance. The plane went down in a wooded area about 5 miles short of the airport. A source close to Senator Inhofe confirmed to the television station that Dr. Perry Inhofe was the person fatally injured. The flight had originated in Salina, Kansas, en route to Tulsa. The pilot said he was experiencing engine trouble when he contacted ATC in Tulsa. Dr. Inhofe was an orthopedic surgeon practicing in Tulsa. The Owosso World reports that Dr. Inhofe was a licensed pilot and flight instructor according to FAA records. The MU-2 was registered to Anasazi Winds, which lists an address the same as that of Perry Inhofe's work address. Expedition 37 crew members Karen Nyberg of NASA, Fyodor Yurchikhin of the Russian Federal Space Agency, and Luca Parmitano of the European Space Agency have returned to Earth from the International Space Station, landing at 2149 Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, just after spending 166 days in space. Inside the Soyuz spacecraft was the Olympic torch, which was launched to the station on November the 6th and taken on a spacewalk this past Saturday as part of the torch relay. The torch will be used to light the Olympic flame in Russia, marking the start of the 2014 Winter Games in February. A day after some 500 people showed at a public meeting concerning Solberg Airport in Reddington Township, New Jersey, the township committee learned that a judge had dealt them another setback in their efforts to acquire that airport's land. Judge Yolanda Ciccone has denied a second amended complaint filed by the township committee, in which the township sought to change its lawsuit seeking to purchase the airport through eminent domain and continue to operate it as an airport, rather than simply purchasing development rights to the property. Ciccone said the case would be heard in March. NJ.com reports that the judge also lifted a stay on a lawsuit the Solberg family had filed back in 2006 against those who had been serving on the township committee at that time. The Solberg's suit holds that the local government had not complied with state law requiring zoning for an airport safety zone and the rezoning of the airport property to a conforming use. The mayor and township committee plan to meet Wednesday, that's tomorrow, in a closed-door session to discuss the airport issue. Any vote taken would have to take place in an open session. Evergreen International Airlines is apparently going to cease operations at the end of this month, despite public statements to the contrary. In a news release posted to the company website on Friday, CEO Delford Smith said that business had been adversely impacted over the past several years by decreased demand in military spending and weakness in global economic markets. Smith said in a prepared statement, quote, "Evergreen is in discussions with its significant constituencies and is exploring available strategic alternatives with those constituencies. While Evergreen generally does not comment on market rumor or conjecture, rumors that a decision has been made to cease operations at this time are false," end quote. However, an internal memo distributed to all Evergreen International Airlines employees and filed with the state of Oregon under the Warren Act tells a different story. The memo from Evergreen Human Resources Manager Monique Gregory, which was posted on the Yamhill Valley, Oregon News Resister website, indicates that, quote, "The last day of all operations will be November 30th, 2013. The loss of our company is very unfortunate. However, we appreciate your continued excellent service during this ending phase," end quote. The Washington State Legislature, during a special session on Saturday, overwhelmingly approved key elements of Governor Jay Inslee's proposed package to help secure an unprecedented commitment from the Boeing Company to assemble its new 777X jetliner and the plane's carbon fiber wing in Washington State. Inslee, who called the legislature into special session Thursday, praised lawmakers for working quickly and in a broad bipartisan fashion to approve key measures to extend all commercial airplane tax incentives until 2040 and expand the current sales and use tax exemption on construction of buildings to manufacture super-efficient airplanes, expand the state's investment in education and workforce development to boost enrollment in aerospace fields at community and technical colleges, and streamline permitting actions that will speed up development and expansion of facilities at large manufacturing sites around the state. Inslee noted that the legislation includes strong contingency language to ensure that all of the 777X assembly and wing assembly remains in Washington. Specifically, the bill includes a provision that says the company will lose its preferential B&O tax rate for the 777X if any of that work is moved out of Washington. When Aero News continues, rising from the ashes, Southwest making dreams come true, and step into my parlor, cockpit.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, November the 12th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The dramatic video of two planes colliding in midair last week and sold for a licensing fee to NBC News for an alleged $100,000 may be a key to helping the company that owns the planes stay in business. The Duluth News Tribune reports that the company, Skydive Superior, carried liability insurance on the airplanes but could not afford to spend the $10,000 per aircraft necessary to actually insure the planes themselves. The skydivers who jumped from those two planes to safety sold exclusive rights to the video to NBC News for 2 weeks, with the option to make it available to other news organizations after that. Barry Sinex, one of the jumpers, recognized that the video could be valuable not so much to the individuals, but to preserve the jump zone at Richard I. Bong Airport. Skydive Superior is the only place in the area where they can participate in their chosen sport of skydiving. Sinex says all of the jumpers agreed not to realize personal gain from the video sale. The $100,000 is about two-thirds of what is needed to repair the damaged airplane and replace the other. Sinex told the paper that everyone hopes that Skydive Superior can be back in business by next summer. Southwest Airlines has added to the Women in Aviation International roster of 85 scholarships by offering WAI members the opportunity to win 4 Boeing 737NG type ratings. Anyone, male or female, who was a member of WAI as of November the 1st is eligible to apply. To apply for the Southwest 737NG scholarship, qualified candidates must submit their application, complete a professional resume, and a single-page essay explaining how this scholarship would help them reach their professional goals. Complete qualifications for pilots applying for the Southwest Airlines scholarships may be seen at wai.org/scholarships. The Southwest 737NG scholarship includes an ATP rating for applicants who do not currently have one. The scholarships will be awarded at WAI's 25th anniversary conference held at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort in Lake Buena Vista, Florida, on March 6th to the 8th of 2014. From the depths of a Mojave Desert airplane boneyard has come a show home on a Malibu, California hillside, thanks to architect David Hertz and his client Francie Raywald. The home was years in the making, according to a post on the blog Houzz, that's H-O-U-Z-Z. Raywald and Hertz traveled to the Mojave Boneyard back in 2005 and selected a no longer airworthy Pan Am 747 to be disassembled and shipped to the coast. The transportation of the massive wing structures required the closing of some highways, and they had to be lifted by helicopter the last few miles to the construction site. And there was reportedly a lot of government paperwork to be completed. After purchasing the parts for $50,000, Raywald now has a showplace to call home in the Malibu Hills. The wings make up the dramatic curved roofline. But Hertz also used airplane parts for an art studio, an animal barn, and a meditation pavilion. So after several years and an undisclosed amount of money, Raywald has a unique home in Malibu. I can't help but wonder, though, when you're invited over as a guest, do you have to ask for an aisle or a window seat? I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks, as always, for listening. You're now cleared for departure.